We are continuing this afternoon on our little seminar called A Practical Guideline to Advancement in Krishna Consciousness. Because we do have Vaishnava guests led by His Holiness Indra Dyumna Maharaj, who were not attending the other two seminars, I would like to give a summary. And I also would like to give a summary because you will need to be tuned in to really take full note of this third lesson, which as far as I am personally concerned, is the most important of the series. So, we were hearing from the Bhagavatam that the whole process of Krishna consciousness is aimed at cutting a particular knot within the heart. This knot is the false ego, which becomes tightened by activities of sense gratification. It is a knot which has bound the soul since eternal times to the false understanding of I and mine, and is therefore responsible for its continuous journey in the cycle of birth and death. In the second verse, we heard that this knot can be cut by hearing about Krishna, the transcendental personality of Godhead. But we were ending this second knot with a lamentation. No one is attracted to hearing about Krishna, including us who have difficulty in concentrating on chanting the holy names and hearing, or who have difficulty of surviving even one class in Krishna conscious philosophy. That is a sad fact which is taken account in the Bhagavatam, and it is said the remedy for this notorious inattention and inability to concentrate on spiritual subjects is to serve the pure devotees. If one serves a pure devotee, one will get ruchi or taste in the transcendental subject matter, and then it is easily possible to pay full attention. Now, in the next verse, the third verse, we heard that a devotee who adopts this process will find out that his inability to make advancement in Krishna consciousness is stopped by Krishna himself, who enters within the heart of the devotee, the truthful devotee, who continues to hear about him. For the benefit of our newcomers, I want to repeat the telling example which was given. The example was given: if you have a camphor box, you may remove the pieces of camphor from the box, but the particular smell of the camphor will linger on. You might even expose the box to sun and wash it continuously or repeatedly, but still the smell of the camphor is there. This is the situation of a devotee who might remove the gross sinful activities like meat eating and illicit sex and so on and so forth, but he will find out that the smell of sin or the taste of sin remains in his mouth. We were speaking of the padayatri who sometimes sees in his mind impressions of his past activities, which can be quite embarrassing. Isn't it? What to do now? And this will be the subject matter of today's discussion. It is a very well-known verse, which I want to read to you. Let us do it responsively, like in our Bhagavatam classes. Nashta prayeshu, avadreshu, nityam, Bhagavata, sevaya, Bhagavati, utamashloke, bhaktir, bhavati, naishtiki. Because we do have little time only, I will immediately read the translation. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Here is the remedy for eliminating all inauspicious things within the heart, which are considered to be obstacles in the path of self-realization. The remedy is the association of the Bhagavatas. There are two types of Bhagavatas, namely the book Bhagavata and the devotee Bhagavata. Both the Bhagavatas are competent remedies, and both of them, or either of them, can be good enough to eliminate the obstacles. A devotee Bhagavata is as good as the book Bhagavata, because the devotee Bhagavata leads his life in terms of the book Bhagavata, and the book Bhagavata is full of information about the personality of Godhead and his pure devotees, who are also Bhagavatas. Bhagavata book and person are identical. The devotee Bhagavata is a direct representative of Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. So by pleasing the devotee Bhagavata, one can receive the benefit of the book Bhagavata. Human reason fails to understand how, by serving the devotee Bhagavata or the book Bhagavata, one gets gradual promotion on the path of devotion. But actually, these are facts explained by Srila Narada Deva, who happened to be a maidservant's son in his previous life. The maidservant was engaged in the menial service of the sages, and thus he also came into contact with them. And simply by associating with them and accepting the remnants of foodstuffs left by the sages, the son of the maidservant got the chance to become the great devotee and personality Srila Narada Dev. These are the miraculous effects of the association of Bhagavatas. And to understand these effects practically, it should be noted that by such sincere association of the Bhagavatas, one is sure to receive transcendental knowledge very easily, with the result that he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. The more progress is made in devotional service under the guidance of the Bhagavatas, the more one becomes fixed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The messages of the book Bhagavata, therefore, have to be received from the devotee Bhagavata, and the combination of these two Bhagavatas will help the neophyte devotee to make progress on and on. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shemade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyadi Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadveda Rana Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Minda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
This is certainly a happy new year garland with that avant-gardistic glitter. Thank you very much. So, this verse is very helpful because it helps us to come from the embarrassing state of anishta, or unsteady devotional service, to the platform of nishta, or steady devotional service. Let us please hear for a moment the six symptoms of unsteadiness, and with a glance put to the floor, let us smile about recognizing ourselves in this. The first step of unsteadiness is utsahan mayi. A devotee is extremely enthusiastic at times, but his enthusiasm is more or less like the little Brahmana boy who cannot read but who has gotten a book. He is very enthusiastic. With this book I have entered the world of the Pandits. I am also one of them who carries a book underneath the arm. But because his enthusiasm is so shallow, based on externals, after 3 days he will fire the book in the next corner and be not enthusiastic to have it with him. So a devotee sometimes in the beginning stages is very enthusiastic. He is a better Sankirtan devotee than everyone else. He smiles and he jumps higher than the senior ones. But after some time you see him no longer displaying signs of enthusiasm, but he sinks in an ocean of depression. This is because his enthusiasm was false. It was based on externals. It was based on, oh, I have a new world of Krishna consciousness. I'm now not saying hello, but Haribol, and so on. The next state is called Ganatarala, or it means his devotional practice is sometimes thick and thin. The example has been given of water. When water is under in a cold atmosphere, it will become thick and turn into ice. When it's warm again, the water will flow. In other words, the state of being of the water is dependent on external circumstances. It is flickering. In the same way, an unsteady devotee will be enthusiastic if he is praised, if the well water in the morning of on Parikram is extremely warm, and he will be satisfied when he collects a lot of Lakshmi and so on and marries a beautiful girl. But lo and behold, when the external situations change and it is no longer so pleasing, then all of a sudden he becomes his devotion becomes like ice. It is no longer existent. I think Parikrama or Padayatra helps us to look into it quite deeply. Have you ever noticed how one day you are extremely enthusiastic on Parikrama and the other day you fight with the decision whether or not you should get your book your ticket to the West early? Have you seen this? This is often dependent on very external circumstances. However, on Parikrama, we learn to look through this all too human psychology and say, foolish! we are here to stay and go on. So my point here is flickering enthusiasm, which is dependent on external circumstances. Now comes the third sign of Anishta Bhakti. It is a very, very heavy thing, which each one of us will confront at one time or another. It's the question of renunciation. I think I should renounce the world. To hell with this fascination with the opposite sex and marriage life. I will go to Vrindavan and become a Tyagi. I will renounce everything. Oh no. Who has ever entered the kingdom of God by Tyaga alone? I think I should say yes to my very human nature and my desires. I should enter the Grihastha ashram. It's an ashram. Yudhishthira was married, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was married, and so on and so on. Go through everything, have a car, a house, and enough progeny to keep me busy and earning, and so on and so forth. And after I have seen all of it, after I have gone through everything, then I'm matured. Oh no. Can a person reach that which lies in the east by going in the western direction? In other words, can I obtain the treasures of the kingdom of God by enjoying my concessional sense gratification? In this way, there is a battle going on and off. It's not only I want to, although I have spoken now in a way to make the face of the Grihasthas look sad, this is not my purpose in life at all. In the Grihastha ashram, we can lead a life of devotional service dedicated to the pleasure of Guru and Krishna and be renounced also. But there is more opportunity to fall or to do, of course, activities which are related to the material energy. So the question of renunciation doesn't only appear in the Brahmachari ashram. It appears also in the Grihastha ashram if a devotee is not yet fixed in Krishna consciousness, where he has such a higher taste that the idea of material or absorption of material life is not even attractive to him due to swimming in the ocean of Krishna consciousness. There are three other signs. One is the fight with sense objects. In Germany we have a cartoon of a strong Viking called Heging. So Heging is too fat. He suffers from a chronic disease of fatness, and it is because he likes cream. So he goes near a cream cake and says, come on, Heging, who is stronger? The Heging, the terrible, or the cream cake? He goes past the cream cake. Then he comes back again to the cream cake. So who is stronger, Heging? Ah, nonsense! And then he eats the cream cake. So this struggle with the sense objects, should I do this particular thing, or should I refrain from it, is a sign of an Anishta Bhakta. The next sign is he is not able to keep his vows. Maybe he will say, from today on, I will rise at 3 o'clock and chant all my rounds before Mangal Aratik. But then after 3 days, he says, excuse me, Prabhu, the modes are also an existent reality in my life. Then finally, that's the sixth thing, Tarangarangini. He comes back into material life like we have seen in almost 75% of the devotees who joined the movement of Krishna consciousness. Yes, you have heard the alarming number, 75%. If a devotee does not come from the anishta or unsteady state of devotional service, then his mind will still be attracted to material objects, to a platform where he is steady. He will not be able to stay in this wonderful movement of Krishna consciousness, but he will leave it at least for some time and either return in this life or life coming afterwards. So it is very important to jump over the abyss of unsteadiness if you want to become a fixed up devotee. And this particular verse tells us how to do it. Let us read it again. Now, first of all, do you also feel this is important for your life? Do you feel this subject has something to do with your existence? This little shy smile here and there. Can I assume that I have the audience's attention with me? Yes. Do you realize whether or not you will be able to stay in Krishna consciousness will be determined on if you manage to become steady in your devotional service, and that means to give up these or to overcome these six symptoms, which I think all of us can identify with, isn't it? In other words, this is a life or death. Consideration. So the thing which is given here is the answer which is given here. Let us please hear it again. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Nishta, or steadiness, is here translated naishtiki, irrevocable. In other words, no one can take it away from you. This steadiness will not go even if you are in a very heavy circumstance in your life, where you might see several obstacles in your devotional service. A devotee who is fixed, he will laugh into the face of Maya and not being impressed by the various shows and which are going on. Now, at this time, you might say in a very disappointed way, "Oh, we heard that. We heard that already in your lecture series. It doesn't work." A devotee who is fixed, he will laugh into the face of Maya and not being impressed by the various shows and which are going on. Now, at this time, you might say in a very disappointed way, "Oh, we heard that. We heard that already in your lecture series. It doesn't work." This is only a summary of the practical guidelines which we have heard so far. It says here, by regular attendance in the classes of the Bhagavatam, we heard this, Srimvatam Svakata Krishna, we should listen to about Kata of Krishna, and then service of the pure devotee, that was said in the beginning. So how is this verse how does this verse help us to become steady in devotional service and become nishta? Now, to tell you the blunt fact, I had this doubt many years. And the f- finally, I took the work to read all the classes which Prabhupada had given on this verse, and there is a very, very interesting answer, which is really a practical guideline. Srila Prabhupada, in one of his classes on this verse, leads us back to a discussion which took place millions of years ago at the foothills of the Mount Kailash. There is Lord Shiva discussing with his wife Parvati. Now Parvati is the material energy, and she usually doesn't like so much that Shiva is almost dressed with nothing and just sits in meditation, that he is totally poor, and so on. And he, one time, Parvati, being so frustrated with the, the living circumstances of her marriage, presented Shiva with the most opulent palace in the universe. And Shiva, they were living in that palace for one day, and then came a Brahmana by. And the Brahmana says, please give me a donation. And Shiva, he gave the whole palace to the Brahmana and again took up his comfortable residence under a simple tree on the foothills of Mount Kailash. So Parvati, seeing the extreme renunciation of her husband, was asking him, you seem to not take pleasure in these things, material things. I'm the material energy, I could give you anything. You've never asked me for something, and now I've given you a very good palace, and you have given it away the next day. Tell me, please, what is so satisfying to you? And then this is what they always do. It's a wonderful marriage, extremely spiritual marriage with a great Mahajan, what to expect from Shiva. Shiva means auspicious. And he explained, like always, about Krishna Katha to his wife. They always talk about Krishna Katha. And this time Shiva said, I'm worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Devi, I want to tell you a secret. Higher than the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the worship of Tadiya. But is a shloka, I think. Araradhanam sarvesham Vishnu araranam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samachanam. Of all kinds of worship of Vishnu is sublime, but more than that is tadiya. Now, what is tadiya? Tadiyanam means things which are related to Krishna. Here in this verse, two types of tadiyanam come, the Bhagavatam and the pure devotee. But there are other tadiyas. In one of the Puranas it is said that there are five powerful boats which can carry the conditioned souls over the ocean of birth and death. That is the worship of Srimati Tulasi Devi, hearing Srimad Bhagavata, serving the pure devotee, the holy name, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and Mother Ganga. So these five things are more potent in releasing us from the material illusions than Krishna himself. Why? Because Krishna has invested these five transcendent abodes with a certain carrying potency, which can carry us all from the side of Anishta Bhakti, where we can, or unsteady devotional service, to the side of Nishta Bhakti. Please understand, when you are staying in the kingdom of unsteadiness, you will be devoured by lust, greed, anger, and all your private neurosis. I want to make a side remark. I'm preaching, giving public lectures in Germany, and you have to say these things, otherwise the Germans won't believe you. I will avoid these things in the future. So, if you stay in Anishta Bhakti, you are in great danger to leave the path of Krishna consciousness. But if you become steady in Krishna consciousness, nothing will shake you. So, Srila Prabhupada has explained, in other words, that if we become fixed up in serving the Tadiyanam, we will become steady in Krishna consciousness. And if you look at his transcendental work as the founder acharya and spiritual master of founder acharya of this movement for Krishna consciousness, he has brought us in contact with these five things. He has brought us in contact with the holy name, the Srimati Tulasi Devi, whom we worship. By the way, our transcendental guests, we wholeheartedly would like to recommend you please go to Kamyavan one of those days, where there is the original deity of Srimati Vrinda Devi, and pray to her for entrance in Braj. She is really what a So Tulsi, who is an expansion in this world of Vrinda Devi, is one of these boats. We do the Tulasi Artik in our temples. We certainly read Bhagavatam every morning in the Bhagavatam lectures. And we serve the pure devotee, our spiritual master. The whole teachings of Krishna consciousness is based, Prabhupada has instilled a very high sense of Guru Nishta in us. Even Vaishnavas from other movements and other sampradayas marvel how much faith the devotees in the movement for Krishna consciousness have in the founder acharya, and in their own, and if they are not disciples of Srila Prabhupada, in their own spiritual masters. That's really one of the carrying strengths of this movement. And then the last thing is Ganga. We are invited by Srila Prabhupada to every day join the blissful Guru Purnima at the site of the Ganga and bathe sufficiently in the holy river Ganga, or also Yamuna, like we do here in Vrindavan. So Prabhupada has established, in other words, Tadiyanam, these powerful things which are in relationship to Krishna. And if you become fixed up in that service, your transcendent, you will jump from the kingdom of hell or unsteady devotional service into steady devotional service. There is no doubt. Now I want to come to an end. Bhadra Prabhu, we are arriving at that auspicious time where prasadam will be ready in a few minutes. Yes? Good. I want to tell you a little Prabhupada Leela about Nishta, or steadiness. Prabhupada was giving a lecture in Montreal where he said, we have to become fixed up in Krishna consciousness, and we have to always be fixed in Krishna consciousness, and there should be no Maya in our lives. And then at the end of the lecture he said, and we must overcome this hellish sex attraction, and so on, and the devotee's head were going down, down, down when he said this. Then just as he was closing the lecture, he said, and if you want to come back to Godhead, you must be fixed in Krishna consciousness. And he ended the lecture, and he stood up. Now when he was standing, he said, but it's enough if you are 90% fixed. Then he was going down, and it was going down means he stepped down the Vyasa San, and halfway he lost his chadar, actually. Now halfway he said, if you are fixed up 80%, Krishna will make up with it. He said this as a side remark. And then he lost some his chadar somehow, stuck to the Vyasa San. At least he turned on and turned around and gave it and put it around. And even if you are fixed up 75%, I've written this down, then also Krishna, who is there in the heart, he will take, he will help you and fix you up completely. So in other words, our proposal today is not an irrealistic proposal or an inhuman or devotee proposal that one says something totally, let me say, not practical. If you just fix your mind on Tadiyanam, on worshipping the pure devotee, worshipping the let us start with the holy name. The holy name, because that's Nama Ruchi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Then if you fix yourself up in the order of your spiritual master, fix yourself up in the Bhagavatam, which should be read regularly, pray to Srimati Tulasi Devi, and bathe in the holy rivers. If you do that, Krishna will help you and take all the obstacles away from you, so that you become, or we all become hopefully fixed up in Krishna consciousness. And what will this state be? Prabhupada says it will be the expectant psychology. See, when a man, a woman, is expecting someone very, very, very urgently, every noise at the door for that man or woman will mean, oh, my beloved is coming, standing just before the door, or my friend is coming. So a devotee who is fixed up in Krishna consciousness, he will expect Krishna and Krishna's mercy, Asha Bandha it's called in Sanskrit, any moment to come. He will always be in bliss and never morose. So, this is the mercy of this wonderful movement for Krishna consciousness, and so on. So I want to really end here. There will not be any time for asking or for the question and answer session, but tomorrow, for those who are on Parikram, we will continue with our lecture seminars, and if you do have questions from this section, which just note them down either on your piece of paper or in your brain or in your memory. We will now have to hurry a little bit. Padra Prabhu, do you want to say anything? Let us just end the class by some blissful shouts. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimati Radharani ki jai, Shivashandam ki jai. The visit of His Holiness Indradumna Maharaj with His Transcendental Kirtan Party ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Sachinandan Maharaj ki jai.